Summer is here, and you know what doesn't belong in your epic summer plans? Getting burned by your old wireless bill. While you're planning beach trips, barbecues, three-day weekends, your wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back. And that's why I made the switch to Mint Mobile, and I've been loving it. With Mint, you get the coverage and speed you're used to, but for way less money. And for a limited time, Mint Mobile is offering 3 months unlimited premium wireless service for $15 a month. So while your friends are sweating over data overages and surprise charges, you'll be chilling, literally and financially. Say bye-bye to all your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile will rescue you. All plans come with a high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch the overpriced wireless, get 3 months of unlimited service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. I switched in June. You should too. The first few months, I saved almost $100 by switching to Mint Mobile. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank, get the new customer offer, and get your 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/FWP. That's mintmobile.com/FWP. An upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited new time customer offer for the first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. mintmobile.com/FWP.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal. Under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
We've been telling you guys about Blue Chew for years, and we ain't stopping anytime soon. That confidence, that performance, that edge that you're going to get in the bedroom and mentally when you check out BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. First shipment free. Yes, shipment. That's because you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy, have any awkward conversations with doctors, you're questioned online, and if approved, this ships straight to your door. It excludes all the awkwardness. Now listen, so will that confidence. That's going to get rid of a lot of that awkwardness as well. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You know it's going to work. They know it's going to work. And that's why they're willing to give you that first shipment free at BlueChew.com when you use that code FIGHTFUL. Take control. Handle your business. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
Oh, we're ready to handle some business on a Saturday night. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the FIGHTFUL YouTube channel. 10:19, a little behind, but we had a little bit of an overrun tonight in our main event between Athena and Alex Windsor tonight. Rick Uchino and Cresta, the star here. We were supposed to have the trio. Unfortunately, Iridian ran into some technical problems. Water and electricity don't mix very well. She had some issues. She'll be back next week, which is great because I'm going to be in New Jersey and I won't be able to be here for Thursday. So I'll be driving to Jersey for all the SummerSlam festivities coming up next weekend. But I'm happy to be here with Cresta as always. Cresta, how are you?
Hi, Rick. I don't think we've had the pleasure to meet under the Cresta corporate star banner. I will stop the Blake Uchino, the Blake Christian slander here. So you are now just Mr. Uchino. I'm so happy to be here. Guys, I'm happy that you are here too. For those of you guys saying we're late, you were just simply early. You will not be paid for that. Thank you so much for being here.
Make sure to get your super chats in and your humper chats in, guys. We will monitor the chat throughout the entirety of the show tonight. That is the guaranteed way to get your comments read on the air. Just like this one right here. Antonio Morales says, I've been to the entire residency. Tonight's crowd was the best. Had a lot of fun tonight. These Chicago crowds, man, they do love their AEW shows. That is 100% for sure. They get hyped up for these. This did not, Cresta, tonight sound like a venue that had 1,500 people in it.
No, for the parts that the crowd was animated for, they were animated for. However, I will say, when they weren't animated, you could hear, as the country people say, a mouse taking a piss on cotton. It was very quiet in there.
I'll tell you, here's the problem I had with tonight's show. And maybe it's not, because I did think this was a good show from top to bottom. There's a lot of story building for the middle of the roster up, right? So like this obviously was the headline by the Ring of Honor Women's Championship match. There was a lot of mid-card building up tonight. Mm-hmm. And I honestly have no issues with that. Sometimes those people just need their own show to build the stuff that they got going on.
Absolutely. But
hands up in the chat, is anybody getting thrown off by the position of the hard cam as hard as I am, with it coming straight down the ramp instead of off to the right side of the ring like it typically is? I kept consistently getting lost. I kept thinking that the commentary desk was moved and everything else was different because the hard cam was coming down the ring. It keeps throwing me off with this residency when they do that.
You know, on the one hand, now that you've said that, I can absolutely see it. However, I will commend them for maximizing their space. You know what I mean? Like, corporate jargon aside, I got to give them credit for trying to do something different. And I feel like ever since the weekend of All In and that weekend of Evolution, wrestling has been very much a why not. So that's where I'm going with, you know what, why not? Why not? Yeah,
no, I'm all for different. Like, that's fine. I'm all for changing it up. And I'm glad everybody else is saying it kind of threw them off too. But yeah, like it's just jarring. Like, I'm fine with change. It just takes me a while to get used to it. And every time it's like I look up and I'm like, why is the desk over there? Oh, wait, that's right. The camera's off. It's a me problem, not them. But let's dive into this card here, Cresta. We open up with Dustin Rhodes defending his TNT championship against Lee Moriarty. I honestly was surprised at the amount of time that this match got and the amount of ass whooping that Dustin Rhodes took in this matchup. This was very much, it's like the story they were telling here is how long can Dustin keep surviving, right? Like, he survived at All In and he was able to steal the title away. And it feels very much like this match with Lee Moriarty, it was his to win the entire time. And then Dustin once again stole one. Now, that said, I did think that the Destroyer Crossroads combo from Dustin was really, really slick. I loved the ring placement from him as well. And also Lee, who ended up, you know, in a position where it didn't look like it was obvious he was going to get his foot on the ropes. Moriarty did a great job of actually landing naturally close to the ropes for the false finish. Dustin overcomes a knee injury. He beats Lee with an inside cradle. Same way he won the title at All In, he retains it here. What did you think of this one, Cresta?
My first initial thought was Eldar Abuse, stop beating up on Dustin Rhodes. But Dustin Rhodes also, to quote good old JR, this match, like you said, was absolutely Lee's match to lose. And on the one hand, you want to put over your Ring of Honor champion, pure rules champion, strong, a guy who knows the rules, when to bend them, and someone really technical like Lee. However, I always question when you make your champion go against another champion and then have that champion win by a roll-up, especially when it's their title defense. I can understand if it's a clean finish and not both titles are on the line. I do want to give a shout-out to, like you said, to the bow and arrow stretch that Lee tried to do on Dustin, but Dustin is just too tall, Paul. That man is incredible. Yeah. And that body scissors that Lee was back in control, and then he had an ankle lock on Dustin into a body scissors, and then Dustin crawled to the rope. Dustin is a consummate professional. However, I will say, if I had to give you my professional corporate take, I would like to see him booked a little bit more strong, and it's okay to have him have a dominant win. Against Lee, this was a really good match to show that he can go and he's still technical. But, you know, something about winning with a roll-up, unless there's a storyline about it, you know?
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, I'm wondering how long they're going to go with this, because like I said, Dustin stole it at All In with the roll up. And that made sense in and of itself at the moment, because that man at, what is he, 55, wrestling his third match in within 24 hours. Okay. Do what you got to do. Steal it any way you can steal it. And he got the job done with it. Using it tonight, I'm like, okay, are they trying to make this a thing? Right? Like, cause Dustin, I don't know. Are they trying to, it seems like they're purposely trying to book him like the tired old outlaw. And it's like, yeah, I still got my six shooter on me, but you know, how long can I stick around with it? You know, like how long can I keep being the guy who walks away from these fights? So I think that's what they're trying to get across. But if they're going to do that, it seems very interesting that they are going to immediately throw him to Kyle Fletcher next week on Thursday.
Oh no!
In a street fight, no less. And we got, you talk about elder abuse, him going up against Kyle Fletcher in a street fight. I don't feel good about that. We got Matthew saying that Fletcher should send Dustin to the retirement next week. I think he just signed like a 6-year deal. I don't think he's retiring anytime soon, but
I was sports confused when Dustin said, I want it to be a Chicago street fight. I'm like, you do know Kyle Fletcher has nothing better to do than to rip phone books and hurt old people, right? You are one of those two people. So I respect it. I love someone who takes charge, a lot of initiative. However,
yes.
Just gotta, I don't.
Like, okay. This man is either, Kyle Fletcher is either going to just beat the holy hell out of Dustin Rhodes, and we're going to get that bloody pass out finish, you know, or they are using this stipulation to legitimately give Dustin an out as a way to realistically beat Kyle Fletcher. Because if these two just go one-on-one, I'm sorry, there's in my professional opinion, there's no way, even with the crafty veteran, you know, knowledge, everything that Dustin has, the in-ring experience over Kyle Fletcher, there's no way he should beat Kyle Fletcher one-on-one. I feel like the Chicago street fight gives him a realistic out, because he can just hit him with a chair or something, or Kyle Fletcher, you know, goes for something, misses, you know all those different things that they can do in street fights. That gives them an out. I'm going to be very curious to see which one it is.
Honestly, I always hope in situations like this, I know this is what the industry professionals would call carny, but the wrestling gremlin in me is hoping for a cattle prod. In some cases, I think that it is absolutely necessary. And fortunately, Kyle Fletcher is phenomenal, especially since the rebrand. You have to cattle prod him. I'm so sorry.
I wouldn't mind it if they just went ahead and gave the title to Kyle. Like that
that's happening.
That seemed to be the plan at going into All In. And then unfortunately Adam Cole stepped away. They gave Dustin a great moment. They gave him a clean title defense tonight against the Ring of Honor champion. Like, all right, cool. Let's go back to, you know, where we were. Mm-hmm. Put it on Kyle. That's
what I agree.
We had Blanton say, I thought he would call it a bull rope match. I swear to God, I thought he was going to say Texas death match. Like, I don't know why. Same. I was waiting for him to say it. And I'm like, it's Texas. Like, we just did this. Are we going to do it? And then a street fight. It's basically the same damn thing, except you can actually pin your opponent. We got member for 52 months, Blind Roar. Thank you so much for the support. Genuinely appreciate that. That street fight needs more cowbell. Maybe we'll see a lot of cowbell in that next week. But I'm going to go ahead and call it. I think Kyle Fletcher is going to win that one. We get a Bang Bang Gang promo backstage, and it's unfortunately, Cresta, Austin confirms Colton's injury. This is something that Sean Rossap had reported on Fightful Select, best $6 in the business, just under $6, by the way, just under, reported that, Colton had suffered, a legitimate injury last July 17th episode of Collision. And, they were hoping that he might be able to come back for the title eliminator tournament. That unfortunately was not the case. Juice Robinson takes his place. Can we all just collectively, like, I don't know, pray to whatever higher power you do for some good luck for these four guys? I mean, this entire group. And on top of that, Sean had a not so great update on Switchblade Jay White, who may be out for the rest of the year because he's also dealing with a shoulder problem now. Like, can we please find some good juju for these four men, or at least the two that are left standing at this point?
I'll be honest with you. It's not just these guys. I would go ahead and say that Top Flight has that same problem.
Yeah.
I wish the best for them. However, I just think at this point, with maybe just these three guys, they should freebird it if they win any type of tag team, because the Bang Bang Game have been a consistent trio, have been combination of each guy as a tag team. They should be allowed to freebird it. I think that's the most fair thing to do for them, because they are an active tag team in any combination and an active trio when they're all there.
I did like Juice's promo, part of this promo backstage, especially when he said he was going to shove his foot up Big Bill's fat ass. There was a great interaction between those guys throughout the matchup, and we'll get to that as we go down the list here. A lot of people, Cresta, were waiting to see if we were going to get some kind of a Hulk Hogan mention. I know there were some keyboard warriors who were absolutely dragging Tony Khan and AEW for not doing anything on social media prior to tonight, but you had to have a feeling that some kind of a mention was going to be coming, if nothing more for the sheer fact of what Hulk Hogan meant for this network in particular during the Monday Night War era and everything with the NWO. And I thought Tony Schiavone was the perfect person to deliver that message tonight. And I thought he did a heck of a job, saying what needed to be said. Obviously, there's a lot of people who feel a lot of different ways about Hulk Hogan, the performer, Hulk Hogan, the person, controversial figure. Something needed to be mentioned tonight. I thought they did a good job with it.
You know, I said my piece about it last night, and I'll repeat it here for those of you who didn't catch me on the SmackDown show. You know, I feel AEW in that regard isn't obligated to say anything. He didn't work there. However, I think it is a classy move, much like with many other people that AEW has honored, by saying something. And if not Tony Schiavone, JR would be the only other person I would think could deliver a message as such. That being said, I did see the online chatter of they could have done more. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Correct.
But again, I will reiterate here, no matter how you feel about it, let people feel how they feel, but trying to condemn and control someone else's narrative, don't get canceled in your own social circle because you're defending someone you don't know. So
yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, look, and I feel so bad for Chelsea Green, right? Because like she's one of those same people. It's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. Uh-huh. She gets asked about him on live television in the mere hours after he passes, and she, in all sincerity, gave pretty much the exact same response that Cody Rhodes did on national television on Friday Night SmackDown, like acknowledging the contributions while acknowledging also that there was some controversy there and it's okay to feel however you want to feel. And she gets freaking raked over social media, which I don't understand. And it really is, like you said, a damned if you do, damned if you don't type situation. So I don't know. I guess sometimes it does pay to keep your mouth shut in some certain situations, but people are always going to say something regardless. It's just the way we are nowadays.
I'll take it one step further, specifically to speaking about Chelsea Green. First of all, if you engage in that, that's really weird. We can keep our big feelings on the inside instead of typing on the outside our big feelings. Mm. That also being said, again, defending someone you don't know to another stranger is just weird behavior in general. You know, I think that if you don't say something, unfortunately, people will say, well, why don't you want to say anything? And that's ridiculous. If you're too honest, you're like, well, you were too honest. And that's mean. If you're neutral, well, then you weren't honest enough. I strongly encourage, and this is very corporate, Cresta, because I don't want to get TOS over here. I strongly encourage people who engage in that behavior to really reconsider what you're doing with your life, that you're getting worked up over professional wrestling to the point that you're going to scold another professional wrestler or people around you, oftentimes strangers. Keyword here is strangers. Mm-hmm. If this is how you feel, I think therapy might be something you want to steer towards instead of maybe, you know, SummerSlam, instead of All Out, maybe therapy, all into therapy, SummerSlam therapy, that might be where you need to go.
We got 10 Ruses saying, I feel the Hogan thing was a Shivani request. I don't know, because the way Tony was talking on social media, I don't think so. But I don't know. I don't know. Because I don't know these people.
Correct.
And yes. I'm going to listen.
That's the correct answer.
So I'm not going to speculate on things that I don't know. We did get a right after Tony. We got more Tony. But this time we got Timeless Toni Storm. I thought this was, first off, a spectacular entrance to her conversation with Lexi Nair. She let it known to the world that she will be rooting for her plutonic friend, Alex Windsor.
Crucially platonic friend.
Yes, tonight. Also, she is patiently waiting for Athena to sign her contract, but doesn't believe she has the ovaries to cash it in. Cresta. She also said a lot of more sexual innuendo, because of course she did. But par for the course. You don't need me to repeat it. She does it far better than I could. What'd you think?
If somebody told me I don't have the ovaries, I think I might have to pull up my pants. I love Toni Storm. At this point, first I was like, is she going to get to the next level? And she's at that next level. I don't want her to change. She could go out there and say some nonsensical stuff and slap me. And I'd be like, you know what? You're right.
We got Doc saying, I need Juice and Toni interacting. I need it in all caps. I feel like chaos. So, like, here's the thing, and I don't know if it would work right now, because you know, you hear, if anybody who watched Juice's interview with Renee, I believe that's where he said it, like, he really wants to come back and be a more serious competitor. Like, he doesn't look, he saw all the, you know, honeycomb mascot, you know, memes and comments, and you know, he's away for so long. He missed a lot of time over the last 2 years with two different injuries, spines, leg, all the things.
Jesus.
And he really like had time to think about his career and where he is and what it's like. He doesn't want to be remembered as the guy who, you know, shakes his hips and screams and is just like the comedy. He really wants to come back and be like a more serious performer. And we've seen that side of him so far. So I don't necessarily know if now would be the time to mix him in with Toni. Mm-hmm. But I get where people would want to see those two interact. Doesn't always work when you put couples on television together, as True. We've seen in WWE. You can do it the right way. I would not be mad at it, though, Cresta.
You know, I can completely understand where Juice is coming from. Sometimes you want to rebrand Corporate Cresta. but if the people love you, wrestling is a weird, weird place. You go in there with the idea that you're going to be this big macho man and pick people up and put them down. But you make one fart joke and now you're the ass boys for the rest of your life. You don't want to be the ass boys. You have done way more than the ass boys. But anytime people talk to you like, hey, remember that time? They called you the ass boy. I'm so sorry. And I mean, you'll always be famous.
Them forever. I thought that was going to stick with them. It's forever.
It's kind of there, but I like that they have that. Okay, we get it, because we're a jokey joke, but we're also very serious. And I think in the grand scheme of things, I want Juice to be serious. But if we're going to talk about pairing people together, I would love to see, just for one night, for the jokes, for the memes, the 80s and the 20s come together. Her and the Outrunners just hang out. I want to see how that's going to work. Mm. That'll be hilarious.
We have Van Twinblade chiming in saying, I feel like Warner Brothers Discovery TNT likely said, come on, guys, you have to say something. And this is what TK, Shivani, and the PR team came up with. Again, I'm not going to speculate. I don't know. Maybe Sean will come up with something if y'all ask him nicely to do some digging. I do think I'm not going
to
speculate.
It was a classy thing to do.
I
think that's the best way to describe it. It was a classy thing to do. You didn't have to, but you did, and it was classy. So,
yeah. And again, I think Toni was the right guy to say something after all the years that he and Hogan had worked together. We got Day Park chiming in on the Rhodes Brothers, both in street fight matches next week. Interesting.
I didn't know that, but now that he is fighting. You know,
John Cena in a street fight.
Let them both finish the story at the same time, like Mario and Luigi. Let's do it.
A Super Mario Brothers reference on a Saturday night. I love it. We did get the Bang Bang Gang defeating Big Bill and Brian Keith to advance in the AEW World Tag Team Championship Title Eliminator Tournament. I did think that this was a fun matchup. Big Bill, once again, is a standout to me in these matches, not just with his like power moves and his in-ring work, but like the storytelling he does with in the bell-to-bell action. I loved him mocking Colton's injury while Austin also was selling a leg injury throughout this entire thing. And I really, really liked the finish to this because it showed the, even though they aren't brothers and they don't tag with one another, it shows that, you know, Austin and Juice still have some, what's the word I'm looking for here? Some chemistry with one another. Juice hits the Hurricane Rana on Brian Keith. Brian Keith is able to hang on. He rolls through, looks like he has Juice pinned. Then Austin just kind of slips back, gives him the old little shoulder shove, and he rolls back, and Juice is able to leverage the three count. I thought that was really, really slick. I really like the finish to this one.
I have to tell you, for a hot minute, the way that Big Bill and Brian Keith were wrestling this, I thought that they were going to take it. And I wouldn't be upset considering one, I hate their new theme. I don't know what they came out to. Let me not say hate. Hate is a strong word. I'm sorry. Corporate Crest is, I just strongly dislike it. It's very generic theme number one. You know what I mean? I don't think they should come down to Chris Jericho, but I don't know. That being said,
it ain't the best. I'll say that. It's not.
Yeah. The Juice and Brian Keith chemistry, I want to see them wrestle in a singles match because they were in there doing some stuff. And again, I'm going to go back to, I really thought Big Bill was doing some fantastic work here. They're both looking at him like, how am I going to get past this big, meaty 7 feet and you can't teach that type of man? This was fine. This was fine. I kind of saw the finish coming. The Bang Bang Game just came back. And I feel like if they were going to have them lose, I wouldn't have put them in the tournament.
Correct.
By them just being in the tournament by virtue of itself. And respectfully to the learning tree, you guys don't even have a name.
Yeah. We got a super chat from Blanton Stodge Dill 2546. Really appreciate it. Austin Gunn is also such an improved performer. Great selling, great hot tag. Also, he was an MVP in the crowd giving energy during the COVID Daily's Place era. I really think both of the guns have, you know, when they have been on television and both healthy at the same time, I really think both of them have improved. There was a time, honestly, where, you know, they would come on the screen and my attention would immediately go elsewhere. And they have really done a great job of honing their skills. And I genuinely look forward to watching them perform now. So, yeah, absolutely. Tip of the cap to them. And I agree with you, by the way, Krista. I think that had them losing this match, you might as well have not even put them in the tournament at all. So I do like that they're going to go on and they're going to be facing FTR next. Yes. Is that what it was?
I do think so. I do think it's going to be them versus FTR, which does make me a little sad because those old men don't mind beating up children.
We got Meat Norma saying, I'll collide later, but wanted to come through and say what's up to Rick and my meaty COO, Cresta. May Gabagool be with you all. Sorry.
Meat Normus was in the chat last night when people were like, Cresta, this is malarkey. Why are you corporate Cresta? And I'm corporate Cresta because TNA made me turn heel.
Not a fan of what happened?
I mean, it is one thing to disappoint me, and I was expecting the Mike Santana disappointment. It's another thing to take it off of Masha Slamovich as well. Ridiculous. What? So you know what?
What's the problem with having both of your top championships around the waist of people who don't work for your...
Guys, we're just going to swerve just for 2 seconds here. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your collider to listen to Cresta get up on a box and yell. I don't understand it either, you know, now that you said it. And then on top of that, you're not even highlighting the people who are there. So you know what? If you don't care, like Avril Lavigne, if you don't care and I don't care, we're not going anywhere. So I'm going heel because you're just doing anything. You're literally just doing anything. I don't understand that. It made me very upset. And then when you did the follow-up show, you had the losers come out first instead of the people you're actually trying to push. LOL, yo, brother, brother in Christ, just, you know what? You don't care. I don't care. Guys, did we lose Rick? Ladies and gentlemen, did we lose Cresta? What is happening here? We lost Rick, ladies and gentlemen. So my rant has taken Chris, has taken Rick into the stratosphere. So we're just going to move on to the next thing. We do get a video package for the Outrunners versus the Young Bucks, and there's not really too much to say. It was just a lot of fun. I feel so bad. My TNA rant made Rick go, you know what? I gotta go. After that, we do get Lexi Nair backstage with Shane Taylor, and Lexi Nair asks Shane Taylor, you know, how do you feel about Lee Moriarty just now losing to Dustin Rhodes? Before Shane Taylor can get anything out of his mouth, here comes Don Callis and proposes that these guys pretty much injure the Outrunners so they don't make it to their tag matches against the Young Bucks later on. Is it the Young Bucks? I thought they were facing FTR. So we will see how that works, ladies and gentlemen. We're also going to hop in for some super chats while we wait for Chris to... Chris, why do I keep calling him Chris? Blake Christian is on my mind. While we wait for the young Riccacino to come back, let's see what we left off. Where we left off at. You guys are fantastic, by the way. I don't know if we read this one already, but we do have Single Blue Note, the Panda. Cresta, thank you for being on the SmackDown show. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that. I think we read that though already. Just scrolling down. I see that we have one from Ricardo Holt, not just saying your whole name, at work, just saying hello, lovely. Thank you so much. And we have one from Antonio saying, yay, I got time for Cresta lore. Well, thank you guys so much for being here and being for the, where's Chris? Chris is the Cresta star imaginary friend. After that segment with Shane Taylor, Lexi Nair, and Don Callis, we do have the Max Caster Open Challenge. What I thought was really interesting about this is the person that they brought out. Besides the fact that Max Caster got the crowd to chant for him, let's go, Max, you're the best wrestler, la la la, then he still ran him them down, it was Anthony Bowens. The look on Max Caster's face was the saltiest of all the salt, which I completely understand. This match went exactly how you thought it was going to go. Max Caster called Chicago the murder capital, which is a little slanderous. You'll be hearing from Chicago's lawyers, Max Caster. And Bowens literally beat up Max Caster. Bowens gets the win here. And what's more interesting is the post-match. In the post-match, Anthony Bowens goes to beat up Max Caster a little bit more, and he's looking to Billy Gunn to raise his hand. Billy Gunn then goes to check on Max Caster, and Bowens is looking at him like, think, Mark, he lost. I thought we were supposed to be in this together. He said, I'm supposed to be the pride of pro wrestling and not him. A couple of weeks ago, I had said that it's kind of funny that Max Caster is right on that corny, like on the cob where he's about to turn the corner into being funny. And I think that's exactly what we had tonight. We had a classic double turn. I'm seeing double. Bowens essentially turned heel and Max Caster essentially turned face with daddy ass trapped in the middle. So that was that match. And I can't wait to see where that goes, just to see how the daddy ass lore plays out. We do have another super chat from Single Blue Note, the Panda. Thank you so much. It says, for corporate Cresta. Thank you guys so much for the corporation. And while I check on some things, let me give a moment and shout out over at Fightful. Fightful, guys, you can go ahead and subscribe for just under $6 a month. We've got so many things up on our Patreon, from contract updates to updates over and under odds bets from many of our sponsors like MyBookie. There's so many things like Axe Grapsity, Sour Grabs. There's so many things that you can get exclusively. Also, why would you get the news from somebody else who's going to aggregate? Well, we've got Fightful who's going to give it to you straight. Thank you guys so much. We're moving right along. There is a matriarchy interview with Lexi Nair, and Lexi Nair asks, should I be calling you the matriarchy, the patriarchy? And Mama Wayne, who looks amazing, by the way, in that cape dress, says, we don't even know what we're going to be called. That's what I interpreted. AR Fox does come out and challenges Nick Wayne for later on in the show. Like, brother, you beat me up last week, and now we have to fight. And that's that. We do move on, and there is a $400,000 eight tag man match. I want to know how us at Fightful can get booked for one of these $9,000 for one of these $9,000 matches. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to give you a quick update. Rick's internet went into business for himself. He has to go wrestle at the G1. So it'll just be me for this evening unless somebody hops in like a Kate or Sean Rossap. So bear with me, and I appreciate you guys being here with me. So we do have the $400,000 eight-man tag match. It's the Don Callis family consisting of Lance Archer, Hechicero, and the Infantry consisting of Carly Bravo and Sean Dean. They guard against the Outrunners, which consists of Turbo Floyd, Truth Magnum, Tomohiro Ishii, and Hologram. This match, I want to say was a smaz, but it was fun. While I'm not upset at it, it was so much fun, but it was exactly what you thought it was going to be. My two cats are fighting, so I apologize if you hear the rumble in the jungle in the background. We do have a lot of funny moments, in my opinion, on the comms. We have Don Callis saying, "Don't genius say me, Shivani." And then we have Tony Schiavone saying, and this was on Picture in Picture, I didn't get it, but Picture in Picture, he said, "Whether you're between Nigel or Don, you're still stuck." So poor Tony Schiavone tonight, just really going through it. We had a lot of high spots and low spots, including, I just wrote Don Callis and Shane Taylor cheat. Paragon comes out, and I don't know how the ref didn't see any of this cheating. And we do get a visual pin on Carly from Turbo, and then Turbo actually gets the pin. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Rick. Oh. I'm sorry. I kept calling you Chris. I don't know who Chris is, but your internet went to business for itself.
Yeah, no, it tapped out. It said, no, I'm done. I'm done. Like, all of a sudden, like, you just, like, you're going into your diatribe about TNA, which I'm mad I missed the second half of that. But like, and all of a sudden I just saw spinning circles of death. Like, I could hear you, but I couldn't see you. And then I got the little red blinking light of doom over here. And I'm like, damn.
Well, I just covered the 400K eight-man match.
Okay, good.
We just talked about the pin. Do you have anything to add to that match? Any high, lows that you appreciate? I told them we went to go wrestle the G1, but guys, I'm a liar. I'm sorry. Corporate Crest is a liar.
Ishii giving Archer a vertical suplex, like a stalled vertical suplex, was pretty nuts for me in this one. But yeah, no, if you pretty much covered it, other than Don Callis, for whatever reason, just like trying to take the entire book for himself over everybody else, which is just diabolical.
He needs a retirement plan. That's what he said. Just want to cop in for some of these super chats while you were gone. We had this one. I really thought they may go to a 5-minute draw to start the double turn. Let's go, Max. You're the best wrestler alive. Funny story about that. AGDQ, which is a charity for, I think, Doctors Without Borders, just ended recently. And they did a speed run of AEW, and they were playing Will Hobbs. They somehow got the crowd to chant, "Let's go, Hobbs. You're the best wrestler alive." So every time I hear that, I just think of Hobbs now.
So did I miss the conversation about Max and Anthony Bowens?
Yes, but we can hop back over to that as well, because I did talk about the double turn, because it seems like we're going for a daddy ass on a pole match.
Okay, that's a loaded statement in and of itself. But I was there in Cincinnati when these guys finally split. I would have lost a lot of money if you would have told me that happened back in January. If you would have told me by July we would be barreling toward Anthony Bowens being the heel and Max Caster being the sympathetic babyface, I would have lost a ton of money. But I really enjoyed how they booked this. Remember last week I said, man, it is gonna hit so damn bad when Max Caster wins, when Anthony Bowens answers his open challenge. They didn't do that. I was half right. Mm-hmm. Anthony Bowens answering the call was exactly what they were teasing when Daddy Ass said, "Hey, I got a tune-up match for you," or "I got a slump buster," is what he called it. He said, "I got a slump buster for you." Anthony Bowens went out there and beat that man.
Oh, he sure did.
Like, he owed him money. He went full Stewie Griffin on Brian Griffin. He whooped that man's ass so bad that Billy Gunn was like, damn, dog, you cool? You all right? And then he chucked his boy. Just chucked him like a sack of potatoes. And Anthony Bowens is like, oh, we gonna fight. We are going to fight now. Like, this is what you told me to come out here and do, is beat this man. And I did it so well. I did my job so well. Now you're sympathetic for him. Oh, we gotta fight.
Daddy's ass is not loyal. I have to tell you, because this is the same thing he did to his own biological son.
He
told me to go out
kids.
There and beat somebody. And then I go out there and beat somebody like, hey, not like that. If memory serves me correctly, father ass, you were out there riding in tanks, telling people the results of WCW. Yeah, shut up.
We got Meet Norman saying, Rick, you need to ditch Spectrum. Funny story, I just switched to Spectrum because...
Got him.
I just switched to Spectrum because Cincinnati Bell, or Phi Optics, whatever they're called now, they are awful. They are absolutely awful. Spectrum, at least, like, when I'm connected, which is all... Look, my history with Cincinnati Bell is not great, all right? I was kicked out of many streams. I was lagging. There was a lot of issues with Cincinnati Bell. Spectrum has been much, much better. But I am starting to learn that just because you're much, much better does not mean you're necessarily good. Everything sucks now. Everything sucks. But I'll take Spectrum over Cincinnati Bell, Phi Optics for sure. Let's see. I'm trying to think what other super chats we haven't have we gotten all the Cresta ones? Have we gotten all the we only need corporate Cresta?
Where I stopped. We stopped there. That's where we stopped. And then the one right above it from Triangle of Madness.
Okay, yes, we will definitely get to them. We got Antonio Morales saying that AEW GDQ run was awesome. Crowd was really into that.
If you want to ruin your sleep schedule for charity, I highly suggest it. It's pretty fantastic what they'll do to your favorite game. It took you 4 months to beat Majora's Mask. 5 minutes, nerd. Get good.
Oh, now you're taking me back. Man. We did get Triangle of Madness defeating Lady Luck, Maserati, and Rachel Ellering, I believe, were all three of the ladies' names. It doesn't really matter in the end because they all got their ass whooped tonight. I really, really like these three together, Cresta, this Triangle of Madness group. It was a great duo with Sky Blue and Julia Hart. Mm-hmm. I think Tekla fits in perfectly. What are you thinking so far of these three together as a trio?
All right, Kat. Sorry. Mercedes Miaune is going into business for herself. She's going into business for herself, too. I want to give a shout-out to Iridian because she did an interview with Sky Blue and Kyle Fletcher a while back, and I believe she had asked them about the House of Heart if she ever started her own women's faction. And while we don't have House of Heart, oh my goodness, what was the name of that thing? It's a lot to remember. Triangle of Madness.
Yes.
I'm here for it. My only problem with something like that with women's groups is don't be too dominant now, because then they're going to ask for a trios women title. And we got to...
We can start with the tag belts. All right. We can just start with it. We baby steps. All right. They have
plenty. Yeah, exactly.
We talked about that on this show. They got enough. They got plenty right now to do tag belts. Trios might be a little much.
Tag belts and then like a main person, not saying like a Toni Storm, but a TBS, and not saying that these women can't take the main title off of a Toni Storm or an Athena. But for right now, this is a good mid-card faction until you're ready to rotate the ladies in and out of the main event scene.
AEW1 saying 14 black talents on Collision tonight. Coincidence.
Brother!
I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but it certainly works for me, brother.
That does work for me, brother.
Yes, for sure. One of which was Queen Aminata. She needed some friends tonight. because she is ready to come down and fight all three of these women after they defeated the local talents again. Good on you, Lady Luck, and Maserati and Rachel Ederling for getting a AEW paycheck tonight. You did your job well. But Queen Aminata is ready. She's still like selling the misting from last week. She's got a chair in hand. She's ready to take all three. She wasn't ready for the fourth one. Like, how unfair is that? Like, Megan Bain just comes up, blasts her from behind, and then just gives her that running power bomb. Like, now I have seen I saw so many people in the chat before the show start, and they all said the same thing. Women's blood and guts, women's blood and guts, women's blood and guts. When are we is this all of this potentially leading up to that? Because you got a team of five if you want to throw Penelope Ford in there as well.
You know, my problem with that is that it would be very one-sided. On the one half, I guess the bad guy side of blood and guts, everyone's on the same page. We've seen them working together for weeks in some combination of the sort. Who are we going to throw in there again? Aminata, Thunder Rosa?
Well, Thunder Rosa's injured right now. She's dealing with an injury right now. I think you would have to do TJ, right? You would have to do Harley Cameron if and when she is ready to return, because we saw her briefly at All In, still with the mask on, right? So potentially she could be involved there as well. There are teams to be built. But I see where you're saying, like, the scales definitely seem to be more tipped.
Yeah, it'd be a ragtag team versus a group of pirates, like a proper group of pirates, if you will. So,
pirates, a proper group of pirates.
These are the Blackbeards over here. I don't know. I don't know how we do this. I think there is something to be done. If you want to do a blood and guts, maybe at these string of pay-per-views, like Forbidden Door, All Out, maybe the next one. I do see people in the... Yeah, I see people saying, okay, there's Jamie Hayter. Okay, that's fine. Still, I would even go so far to say that I know Deonna Purrazzo and Taya Valkyrie are free, but those are also bad guys. And I just err on the side of caution how it would feel heavy on one side. Like, one side is a well-oiled machine. The other guys are like, you're not going to take our stuff anymore. And they're like, shut up.
They definitely have some time, especially if we're talking about Harley Cameron and Jamie Hayter both being on the team. They're not active at this point in time. I don't believe we've seen Harley since All In. It's like they brought her in a little bit early just to get a little bit of revenge, just to tease that, you know, she's still around and she's going to be right around the corner. So we will see what happens. We got Big Stoke backstage, wants to know why good guy Adam Copeland is hiring goons to beat up FTR and keeps targeting his small ass every week. He also wants to know how Juice feels to be a side piece, but I digress. Like, the whole Stokely sitting there, you know, screaming into the camera, why is Cope doing this? Why is Cope doing that? Mother effer, you know exactly why he's doing this, because you told him he can't touch FTR. This man is a tactician. You tell him he can't do something, he's going to find ways to do it. That's just where we're at. So he knows exactly why Adam Copeland is doing that. He can't touch FTR. He can touch you. That's where we're at.
I love Stokely Hathaway. He is the best worst manager you could have. A great talker. Because it's one of those things where I think Dax and Cash are great talkers. But because there are such charisma in the bad area, man, you don't want to hear anything they have to say. Shut the hell up. You guys suck. You know what I mean? They're such good wrestlers, you know? I will say Stokely Hathaway faking an injury is a violation of your employee handbook. So I will be seeing you in HR. I do agree. Why are you acting brand new? You said he can't fight them. You went to Tony Khan and said that he can't touch FTR, but you didn't say anything about you. I just think maybe instead of yapping, you should have been drafting your petition for a protective order against Copeland as well. So, you know, self-infliction, and you're not even that injured. You bucked up at Lexi Nair. I'll see you in HR.
We got Tom Lee Valley saying Ladies Blood and Guts is coming. The heel five are set. Yes, the heel five are set. Mm-hmm. Let's hope the babyface side can heal up here. We got Timmy 360 saying, any thoughts on Layla Hirsch being recruited by WWE as a referee? Can't remember any former wrestlers ever turning into refs. Thanks for the great show. A lot of referees
are wrestlers
trained to be wrestlers. Jessica Carr was a wrestler before she became a referee in WWE, and now she is actually wrestling again. Can't pronounce what her name is, but she is a masked wrestler in Evolve. So she's doing some in-ring work right now. I really do like Layla Hirsch as a in-ring
technical wrestler
performer. Yes. But that said, I'm trying to remember, because Sean had a report on this on Fightful Select. And this is exactly why you should subscribe to Fightful Select, so you can get Sean's stuff directly from him and not me trying to misremember some stuff. But there might be, Layla might have actually been the one that reached out to WWE to offer her services to come in and try out and be a referee for WWE. And I don't fault that whatsoever. Yes, she's done some independent bookings, but hey, if you can get your foot in the door at WWE, get access to that performance center, train up a little bit, you know, do whatever you need to do, or just whatever you got to do to get the bag and keep your career going and staying in the business, I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with that.
This isn't me, Mercedes Meowne. This is the other cat. And she doesn't like to be seen. So maybe this is Sting. Stang. Stang. This is Stang. Where's my money, Blake Christian? Give me my money.
Shoot. You barking up the wrong tree if you're looking.
Where is my money, Sean Ross Sapp? I will take $500 million in Denmark. I'm sorry.
Just send him an invoice. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. He'll get the job done. We had Nick Wayne and Kip Sabian defeat AR Fox and Angelico tonight. Week in and week out, Cresta, the crowds are beginning to beg. I say beg for AR Fox to pick up a damn win. Of course, he didn't tonight.
Oh, and he got the jobber entrance, too.
He did. They teased us. They teased us several times. Couple of near falls for AR Fox. Of course, Nick Wayne hits the kill switch on Angelico and wins the match. But I'll tell you what, if this is the plan with AR Fox, it's working.
He's a phenomenal wrestler. What do we do here?
They're giving him the Daniel Garcia C2 treatment is what they're doing here. And people are buying into it hook, line, and sinker. Whatever they're doing, it's working. If this is the plan, it's working. If it wasn't the plan,
it's working.
It's working. You're falling
upwards. Oh.
Yeah.
You've been doing this too much.
I mean, we've only been doing shows together for a couple of years now. So, you know.
Truth.
Yeah, for sure. But what did you think of the match overall? I mean, it did make sense to give the, don't call us the patriarchy. I guess it's the matriarchy now. To give them the win here.
I'm at two places with it. Because I think a win here for the matriarchy was absolutely what it needed to be. That was the correct call to show off Kip Sabian and, all right, to show off Kip Sabian, I'm sorry, and Nick Wayne together. I think this was the right call. However, if the crowd is chanting for AR Fox and the crowd is beasting for AR Fox, I'm sure he could have beat up a Max Caster. You're the best wrestler alive. There are people he could have done something again just to get a win, you know? So when you lose here, it doesn't feel so, hey, I'll be telling you to keep losing. And you're going to get beat up by Gates of Agony and get it beat up by Ricochet. And we hate that guy right now. So I would just say that on the one hand, you can boost up one team, but there has to be a better way to boost up AR Fox. Because wrestling fans are fickle and they have the attention span of a goldfish, because we'll like you today. And then 2 days later, if I don't see you, who was that?
You're not wrong. So I do think it is smart that they are keeping AR Fox on TV mm-hmm. every week and letting him go out there and put on these great performances. And it's really you know, he's building a relationship with his AEW audience. They want to see more of it. They want to see him succeed. We'll see how much longer they drag it out and if the crowds stick with him. There are just some talents that the crowds stick with no matter what. Like LA Knight is the prime example of this. That man, it doesn't matter what WWE does to him. It doesn't matter what bad gimmick they saddle him with. It doesn't matter who he loses to. It doesn't matter if they completely job him out, including cutting out all of his offense against Bray Wyatt at the Royal Rumble. Like, this man just keeps surviving. And not only that, he keeps thriving. They just love him no matter what. So there are just certain talents that people will ride or die with no matter what the booking is. I don't know if AR Fox is that person, but we'll see.
Danhausen's like that in AEW.
Yes, for sure. For sure. What did you make of Chris Statlander's backstage interaction with Renee Paquette tonight? Always great to see Renee on TV. She got some stuff blown in her face, and Statlander was yelling, and basically she said a lot of stuff, but basically it was Willow needs to piss off. What did you think of this? The latest turn of Stat. Feels like this could be a soap opera.
Chris, Big Show, Statlander, so many face turns. And at this point, I feel like that's just her gimmick to see how many face turns, heel turns she can do in a year.
She's conflicted, that's for sure. She's conflicted.
I don't hate it, because to me, at this point, it's a meme. And if it's not a meme, I don't know. I will say, it's workplace harassment, blowing something in her face like that. I will see you in my office, Miss Statlander, after the show. Man, I don't know how to feel about this. I kind of just want them to do something with Statlander. Start, stop again. Back to the whole, why not? Why not in this case is because I want you to just commit to something. Commit. I don't care if it's chicken. I don't care if it's all powerful. I don't care if it's nonverbal. Just commit. And if you're going to commit to the flip-flopping, at least commit to that. She needs to be a different person every week. Commit to that then. You know what I mean? So I don't know, because Chris Statlander is a fantastic wrestler. Telling Willow to piss off after saying maybe you'll try to say sorry, and then, man, just go to Death Riders. I don't know. Just commit. Commit to something. Commit to something.
Michael agrees. He says, I swear, Statlander's booking is so confusing. She's a heel again. Can we please pick a lane with her? She's had more face changes than the Big Show. There's obviously going to be a lot of people drawing that comparison. To me right now, it definitely does sound like she's conflicted and she does not know what she wants to do. That's the way I feel like she's playing it, where it's like one week she feels differently. It's almost like she's bipolar. Like she's almost playing a bipolar character where she's upbeat and optimistic one week, and then something bad happens and immediately she's like, you know, piss off. I don't need you. I'm strong. I'm big. I'm my own independent, strong woman, and I don't need nobody to tell me how to do nothing. Right. Like that's where that kind of came off with this tonight. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to be okay with what they're doing right now, if you kind of wipe clean all the other babyface heel turn stuff that they've done with her in the past. If you ignore what they've done with her in the past, and I know that that's giving AEW a free pass, but if you ignore what they've done and just focus on what's happening right now, she comes off more as a conflicted character than somebody who's flip-flopping back and forth between babyface and a heel.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it is very, very difficult, though, to ignore what they've done with her, especially with turning her heel, aligning her with Stokely, and then basically just wiping that and trying to neuralize everybody and say, oh no, we didn't do that. We didn't do any of that. So it's easy. It's hard to ignore what they've done with her in the past.
I'll even say that the biggest part that makes it confusing is the fact that she is such a good wrestler, a powerhouse. And we're like, how don't you have a way to figure out something to do with her? I'd even be okay if she's conflicted. Like, I don't know if what to deal or how to deal with this, as long as we commit. And that's the biggest issue when it comes to Chris Statlander. They never want to commit, and I don't know why.
Look, even if it's something as simple as heating her up again so we can get another banger of a match against Mercedes Moné, like, do it. Because those first, like, I don't know how they didn't look at those two matches that she had with Mercedes and go, yep, she's it. let's go. Let's fire her up and try to advance her in some way, shape, or form. It feels like she's been stuck in this limbo of, all right, mm-hmm. she's great, but what do we do with her?
Yeah.
Been there for a while now. We got Batman, 1916 Batman saying, y'all are the best. Thank you so much. No, thank you for sending in a super chat. You've got a lot of super chats tonight. Make sure to keep sending those in. Send in Humper Chats as well. We've got Cresta monitoring those. If any of those come in, we will guarantee read every single one of the super chats or Humper Chats before we get off of the air tonight. That is the way to guarantee that you get your comment read. We do have Clint saying, at least Chris Statlander is no longer an alien from the Andromeda galaxy. Hey.
But at least she committed to that. Yeah. At least she committed.
I liked it when she came back out of that and she was like transitioning out of that and she just started calling herself more than a woman. And then she came back and she won the TNT championship off of Jade Cargill. Mm-hmm. Boy, how long ago does that feel at this point? Good night. It has been a hot minute. They got to do something with her.
She's legitimately good and she's an original. And if she's not an original, if she's not a day zero, she's a day one, at most day two. You know what I mean? So I think that's where a lot of the frustration comes from when it comes. I can only speak from my perspective as a fan, really, that it's like, I want to see her more. I put her and Thunder Rosa in that same spot of, what are we doing here? They're both really, really good and they put on really good matches and not for nothing, they make their partner look really, really good no matter what that person's doing.
Yeah.
Very respectfully. They give some people the best matches of their lives if they're not that good in the ring. You know what I mean? So I'm always sports confused. You know, I think Chris Statlander is sports confused too. So
we all sports confused. Let's be honest. This again is why I wish they had women's tag team championships, because you could put her in the Death Riders and her and Marina Shafir could be competing for those or have them right now, and boom, instantly you have something that she can do. Our main event was Athena defeating Alex Windsor with the O face to retain the Ring of Honor Women's Championship. Another really strong performance. I think this was a great, what they've done with Alex Windsor over the last couple of weeks, I think this is a great reintroduction to her. I had no doubts that this was going to be a good match. I'm glad that this match main evented. I'm glad that Athena won this matchup, because again, if they get her this close to 1,000 days and she doesn't get to get there, I might hurt somebody. I don't know who, but I might
hurt
somebody.
You hurt people.
I'll take MJF's spot. I don't care, for 1 week, just so I can hurt somebody if they take that belt off of her before she reaches 1,000 days, because that is such rarefied air for any championship. Just let her get there at this point. She's earned it. So I'm glad that she won this matchup. This was a really, really fun match. I enjoyed it. This was one of those matches where I just sat back and I just watched and I enjoyed and I didn't take a whole lot of notes. What did you think of this one?
This match, I will always complain about matches like this, because how am I supposed to take notes and enjoy this fine, fancy professional wrestling?
Exactly.
I had never seen Alex Windsor wrestle before this very moment. And goddamn, does it feel good to be a gangster? She's so good. She's so good. And I think one of the perfect dance partners to work with Athena, because where Athena is stiff sometimes and some people look like Athena's taking their heads off, Alex Windsor was like right back at you. This was such a good match. That Koji clutch was a snap Koji clutch that was really crisp from Athena. And then Alex had the wherewithal to put her back on her back and Athena had to release the clutch. This match was just really, really, really good. Even during the ad break when Athena was like, this is the trash you gave. Hey. I'm sorry. It's dinner time. And these two are, it's Mercedes Meow Ne versus Tony Storm over here. And they hate each other. this match was just really, really, really the fight on the rails into the powerbomb. Windsor taking the shotgun chest kick from Athena.
Yeah.
I've loved Athena since Ember Moon, and it always pissed me off that WWE never treated her and gave her the respect that she deserves. I forgot what match she had. I don't know if it was against Ronda Rousey or now Mercedes Moné. And afterwards, she had lost, and everyone just cheered and stood on her feet. And I was so mad. I'm happy to see her get her just dues. She's getting her gots, and I live for this. I live for this. I want to see more from Alex Windsor. Alex Windsor versus Chris Statlander, I don't need no story. Alex Windsor versus Megan May, oh, I don't need no story. I'm sorry, I got too excited. I want to see that. And this was really to the post-match where Toni Storm comes out and we're getting a taste of what these two women are going to do to each other. And I gotta be real with you. I'm kind of on board with you. If Athena loses to Toni Storm, I don't care if it's non-title. I don't want to see that. I like Toni Storm. And I think Toni Storm at this point could take a loss and she'll be just fine. She'll be just fine. I want Athena so bad.
This is what us Athena stans have been waiting for. Like her, this is what we have been asking for 900 and however many days that she has been the Ring of Honor champion. Like she was brought in. She did that program again with Jade Cargill. So this is how far back that we're going. She was like, our first big program was against Jade Cargill for the TNT championship. She lost. And then she's basically been the queen of Ring of Honor ever since. And this is like her first big extended program in AEW. And I feel like, yeah, I want more. What she does on the microphone, turning Tony's character back against her, being it's just this sarcastic bitch of a person on the microphone, the manipulation of Billy, everything that she does is just spectacular. And then she backs it up in the ring as well. And just as a character, she's genuinely hilarious as well. So yeah, I want more of her. And I like Toni as well. Like I'm kind of at the point though with Toni in this reign, she already beat the unstoppable Mercedes Moné, right? So it's like, okay, if she beats Athena, right? If she comes out of this on top and she beats Athena, okay, now where do we go from here? I would love to see kind of Athena make her full ascension and really make this Athena elite wrestling.
I'll take it one step further, and this is just from my personal experience. As a Black woman, it's very rare to see a champion, a dominant champion, especially a woman champion and a Black woman at that. I think what you've done for Mercedes has been fantastic, and what Mercedes continues to do on her own merit is fantastic. But I think, Toni, you have the opportunity here to do something really special for a group of wrestling fans that's often underrepresented as far as champions. And there are way more people in the ring who want to see representation of any form. And I can say for me as a Black woman, again, this is not your experience. That's okay too. But this, you have the opportunity to do something really, really special here, because there's not a lot of that. There's not even a lot of that for Black male champions, you know? So let this be the start to something that says, listen, no matter where you come from, you don't have to be the traditional looking person in order to get ahead, you know? And I think that as much crap as people give Toni Khan, putting a lot of girls in business, keeping the checks flowing, you know, doing a lot of stuff, same way I feel about Don Callis. You may not like Don Callis, but his people are on TV every week. Yeah. Those people are getting a check every week. Don Callis went to the school of Jeff Jarrett, so he knows how to keep a paycheck. He can make, you know, Jeff Jarrett hasn't missed a paycheck since 1985. And Don Callis hasn't missed a paycheck since 1992.
And yet he still needs a retirement plan. So is he bad with his money? What are we doing here?
I'm going to tell you I'm bad with my money. That's a true financial plan. You got money, Cresta? Oh, I'm so broke. Don't you own a corporation? I'm so broke. Isn't your net worth like $1 million? I'm incredibly broke. I have no money.
Net worth
I have
ain't no cash. Money. That's all. That's what I say to that. Net worth ain't cash. I could be worth a lot, but I don't have, you know, stacks. You got that. You got nothing. But exactly. I will say this before, whenever we get the Athena Toni Storm singles match, we get in a tag match first. Mm-hmm. That brawl between the four of those ladies at the close of the show tonight. Give me that tag match. Give me that tag match next week. Honestly, put it on Dynamite so I can actually watch it. Because again, next Thursday I'll be driving to New Jersey. So,
I mean, I won't be here unfortunately for Thursday. Because I have, well, you know what? I don't know. Because me and Joe Pearl keep saying we're not going to quit the show. Then we're going to quit the show. I don't know. I'm greedy. I'm corporate Cresta. And corporations enjoy greed. So.
Well, while you're deciding whether or not you're going to do the TNA show or the Collision show next Thursday, what else do you have going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you. My name is Cresta Starr, also known as Corporate Cresta, the senior jackass over here at Fightful. You can catch me every Thursday here at Fightful, myself and Joel Pearl. I don't know, it might be Fridays too, myself and Kate. Every Saturday, I'm here with Rick and Iridian and some combination of us three. It's a free bird rule over here. For on sure. Wednesdays, you can catch me live streaming on my personal channel, Crest the Star, over on Twitch. You'll find me in all forms of social media at Crest the Star, CrestaStarr, except for X, Twitter, where it's Crest the Star, like Megan the Stallion, two E's if you're nasty. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you find $20 on the floor and your butt looks nice. Rick, where can the people find you when you're not wrestling at the G1?
Yeah, absolutely. It's at Rick Uccino, not Blake Christian, Rick Uccino, R-I-C-K. U-C-C-H-I-N-O. And if you go on my timeline right now, you're going to find two interviews that I did this week for the Takedown on Sports Illustrated. One was with Chelsea Green, talking all about WWE Unreal. But what Chelsea did was great, because I actually got, we ended up for a very long time sitting down and talking about her process for making the creative pitches to the team at WWE. And it is thorough. It is a thorough process with that woman, a three-step process for making creative pitches almost on a weekly basis. It is by far the best interview, the most fun interview that I have conducted. It is up in video form on the Takedown on SI YouTube channel. Please go check that out. She's the best. I wish her all the best, because I know she's going through a bit of a difficult time right now, thanks to social media, but she's great. And then I also had the opportunity to talk to Becky Lynch this week ahead of the Happy Gilmore 2 drop. That is in written form. Again, all that can be found on my timeline on X at Rick Uccino, R-I-C-K-U-C-C-H-I-N-O. I didn't sleep for 2 days getting all that stuff done, so please check that out. Please, I'm begging you guys. I did not sleep.
Man in the business.
I did not sleep. Well, okay, so here's a little inside baseball for you on that. So I do the Chelsea Green, because I have a day job. I work at a radio station. I work at 6 a.m. every morning. Okay. And I did my day job on Thursday. So I woke up Thursday morning, went to bed Wednesday, woke up Thursday morning, did my day job. I had the interview with Chelsea at 2:30. I did the interview with Chelsea at 2:30. By the way, we had all that breaking news stuff with Hulk Hogan on Thursday too. So I'm trying to juggle all that with everything over at SI. I do the Chelsea interview. I'm trying to write up the Chelsea interview. I'm trying to do my SmackDown preview. I'm trying to do some more new stuff. And then I get a text message from Netflix at 9 o'clock at night asking if I wanted to talk to Becky on Friday. And I'm like, of course I want to talk to Becky on Friday, even though I don't have time to do it. Why the hell wouldn't I? And they're like, okay, cool. Let's set that up. We got a time. By the way, here's the movie early so you can watch it. So then I had to shoehorn watching a 2-hour movie into everything that I did not sleep. I worked straight through to get all my Chelsea Green stuff done. By the time I finished all of that, I had to go to work at the radio station at 6 a.m., worked through that, interviewed Becky, wrote up all the Becky stuff, stayed up to do the SmackDown results. Didn't go to bed until after I got the SmackDown results posted on Friday.
And you wrestled at AEW.
So. And I wrestled at AEW. So there was a lot of plate spinning. So please watch the video, read the article. Please don't let all that go in vain. Please. I'm begging you. And Tony Morales says, get some sleep. That's not even including all the rest of you. I love and hate that this is a thing.
This is the type of disinformation that needs to go on the. This is harmless. This is fun. And honestly, at this point, I don't know if I can peddle you guys into an interview, but you and him need to do an interview where you're just pointing at each other for the sports entertainment of it all.
He Blake Christian, I'm fake Christian. That's all that.
Stop! You're the real Blake Christian in my heart.
Thank you guys so much. Like and subscribe to the Fightful YouTube channel if you haven't already, but give this video a thumbs up. Really helps drive up our audience. Subscribe to Fightful Select as well. Best almost $6 in the business. Get all of Sean's great reporting. I think he had two that popped up while we were doing this show. So there's some more newsworthy content for you that's fresh and available and ready to go. And one of them has to do with Alberto Del Rio. I'm sure you're going to want to read that.
Oh, boy.
Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the shows next weekend. Again, I'm going to be out. Hopefully, Iridian is here. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.